I'm going to be speaking to you today from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. We're going to begin our reading with verse 3. Now, I wish you'd pull up a chair and listen carefully to every word of this message. I believe that God will speak to you and to me through His Word. And if He is pleased to open our hearts to understand His grace and open our eyes to see His glory, this time will have been well spent. So will you for just a little while listen carefully to the message I'm going to bring to you on this subject, all spiritual blessings in Christ. All spiritual blessings in Christ. Now, verse 3 begins this way. Look at it in your Bible. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, praise God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What poor creatures we are, who have not the will, nor the vocabulary, nor the understanding to praise God as we ought. The book of Psalms is the book of praise. David wrote in Psalm 135, verse 19, praise the Lord, O house of Israel. Praise the Lord, O house of Aaron. Praise the Lord, O house of Levi. Praise the Lord, ye that fear the Lord. And then do you know what the last verse of Scripture is in the book of Psalms, this book of praise, this hymn book of the church? The last line in the book of Psalms goes like this. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And that's the way Paul begins the Scripture that I have selected as my text today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we bless God, we praise God, because He is God. That's the first reason. He is God. Infinite in power, infinite in holiness, infinite in love, infinite in wisdom and majesty, and He alone is worthy to be praised. Our theme song goes like this. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hand hath made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. How great thou art. O Lord my God, how great thou art. We praise God because He is God. And then we praise God, we bless God because He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is important. You listen to me. John chapter 3, verse 16, which is a familiar scripture to every one of you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Oh, the unspeakable gift of His marvelous grace. He gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He loved us and He gave Christ. Now then, let us never fall into the error, into the mistaken idea that the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ was intended to make God willing to show mercy, to make God willing to love us. This is not true. God Almighty loved us before Christ came. That's why He came. God loved us before He gave Christ. That's why He gave Him. That's why Christ came. Listen to the scripture. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. God loved us and He gave Christ. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote in Romans, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy and His abundant grace, even when we were yet sinners, sent Christ to die for us. God loved us. God commended this love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we praise God because He is God. We praise God because He's worthy to be praised, and He's the only one who's worthy to be praised. And we bless God because He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now watch this. Look at the scripture. We bless God because He hath blessed us. That's right. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. He hath blessed us already. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. If you read Romans 8, verse 29 through 31, you'll find that all of God's purposes are declared as if they were already done. Whom He foreknew, He predestinated. Whom He predestinated, He called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, He glorified. All past tense. God hath blessed us. Not God's going to bless us, or God will bless us, or God might bless us. He has already blessed us. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. And He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing. Now, you may not have all you think you need physically, and all that you think you need materially, but I can tell you this, you have all that you need spiritually if you're in Christ. God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing. What does the Word of God say? We are complete in Him. He of God is made unto us all we need. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything I need, I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, here's where we want to camp a while. Here's really my text, and here is the thought of this message. He hath blessed us in Christ. That's where the blessings are. That's where the glory is. That's where the grace is. That's where the love is, in Christ. It doesn't say God hath blessed me in the church or through the church, but in Christ. Not through the ministry or because of the ministry, but in Christ. I have these blessings not by association with a church or a denomination, but I have these blessings because of a living, vital, personal union with Jesus Christ, God's Son. All of God's blessings are in Christ, not in myself, and not in my devotion, and not in my profession, and not in my faithfulness, in Christ. Look at that verse, Ephesians 1:3. Praise God, bless God, everyone that hath breath, praise God, who hath blessed us, who hath given to us all spiritual blessings, life, pardon, forgiveness, relationship with Him, eternal glory. He hath already blessed us with everything we need. All I need, Jesus Christ is made to me. All I need, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's in Jesus Christ. Listen to the hymn writer. In Christ, the Father's love was freely to men given. In Christ, the Father's righteous grace secured our home in heaven. In Christ, I've all my soul desire. He is my supreme delight. In Christ, all that the Father requires to turn my darkness into light. In Christ, the source of all my bliss, my Savior, my brother, my friend. In Christ is all my righteousness. On Him alone I depend. Now let's go to verse 4. And here's where we want to camp a little while. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, who hath given to us all spiritual blessings, all that we need in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now watch verse 4. According as He hath chosen us. Now, in the next few minutes, we're going to look individually at these blessings. First of all, it says, He hath chosen us. We're chosen in Christ. According as He hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now let me ask you three questions. I want you to think a little bit. First of all, did you choose God or did He choose you? Well, the Scripture says, Christ Himself declared, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. And our text says, according as He hath chosen us. So the answer to the first question is, God chose me. God chose me. The second question, when did God choose you? Now the scripture, find a scriptural answer. When did God choose you? The scripture says he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, because God is an eternal God. And everything he does is from eternity. He does nothing in time that he did not decree or purpose in eternity. He declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. God does not wait upon men. Men wait upon God. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say God waits on men. It does say over and over again, you wait on the Lord. So when did God choose you? The scripture says before the world began. Now the third question, listen to it. Why did God choose you? We are of all men most miserable in our sins and wretchedness and depraved condition. Why did God choose you and pass by many others? I'll tell you why. The scripture says, according to the good pleasure of his own will. Not unto us, O God, but unto thy name give glory. Listen to the word of God. Take your Bible and look at these scriptures. If you don't have time to look them up, then write them down, look them up later and read them. John 15:16, Christ said to his disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you. In Acts 22:14, Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus, who had been awakened on the road to Damascus. And he explained to Saul what had taken place. He said, Saul, the God of our fathers hath chosen you, that you should know his will, that you should hear his voice, that you should receive the word from his mouth, and that you should be a witness to many nations. The God of our fathers hath chosen you. Look, if you will, at 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and this is what he says. I thank God, brethren, beloved of God, for you, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, not to service, to salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Never apart from holiness, never apart from sanctification, never apart from the preaching of the word, never apart from belief of the truth, but through these means. God is the God of all grace, and he's the God of means. And God is the one who determines the end, and God is the one who ordains the means to accomplish that end. And then in 1 Corinthians 1:26, and this is a scripture every one of us ought to commit to memory. Paul said, you see your calling, brethren. You see your calling. Not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise are called. But God, now watch this. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world. Who chose them? God did. Whom did he choose? The foolish. God hath chosen the weak things. God had chosen the base things. God had chosen the despised. And God had chosen the things that are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The eternal Father hath given to the Son a people, countless beyond the stars of the sky or the sands of the seashore, a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. The Father hath given to the Son a people, and those people shall be redeemed by the blood of his Son, and those people shall be called and wooed by his Holy Spirit and brought to faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know who they are, nor do you know who they are. But Christ said he knew who they were. He knew who they were. He said, I know my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I give them eternal life. Christ knew from the beginning who would betray him, who would believe on him. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1, now listen, Paul tells you how you can know who his people are. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4:4-5, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Don't be afraid of that word. It's a scriptural word. Get your concordance and look up the word. Don't be afraid of it. Put it in its context. Put it in its proper place of understanding in the scripture. Put it in God's sovereign hand and God's sovereign wisdom, and it'll be a blessing to you. Election is not the sinner's enemy. It's the sinner's friend. If God had not been pleased to save some of us, no one would be saved. If God had not been pleased to choose us, we never would have chosen Him. If God had not loved us, we would have never loved Him. If God had not sought us, we never would have sought Him. And Paul said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And here's how he knew. He knew those folks were God's people. How did he know? Because verse 5 says, our gospel came not to you in word only. And that's the way most people hear the preaching of the gospel. Just words, words, words. I remember reading a story one time about Mark Twain. He went to church one Sunday and heard a preacher preach. And after the message was over, the preacher was shaking hands at the door. And Mark Twain came through the door. And the preacher said, we're glad to have you, Mr. Twain. He said, the preacher, he said, I have a book at home that has every word of that sermon in it. And the pastor protested and said, no, I'm afraid you don't. He said, that's an original sermon. And Twain said, well, I don't care original or not. I have a book at home with every word of that sermon in it. And the preacher said, well, I'd be interested in seeing that book. So Twain said, well, I'll send it to you tomorrow by a messenger. Well, the pastor was anxious to get it. The next morning, he waited at the door, and after a while, a little boy came up bearing a book wrapped up in paper, and he handed it to the minister, and he said, Mr. Twain said, give you this book. And the pastor quickly unwrapped it and looked at it. It was a dictionary. And when he'd opened the dictionary, on the inside there were these words written in Mark Twain's own hand. Words, preacher, that's all. Just words. I have a book at home with every word of your sermon. Just words. No power, no Holy Spirit application. Edification. And that's what Paul says. He said that's the way many people hear the gospel, just in words and doctrines and creeds. But I know you're one of God's own, because that's not the way the gospel came to you. It came to you in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Yes, bless God. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And the first one is this: He chose us in Christ. These blessings are all in Christ. He chose us in Christ. Not apart from Christ, in Christ. All right, the second, well, look at verse 6. It says in verse 6, He hath made us, God hath made us, accepted in the Beloved. Accepted. Now, this word accepted means to look upon with approval, to look upon with favor. When we accept someone into our company, we're looking upon them with favor. We're looking upon them with approval. And when you and I are accepted of God, that means that we're received by God. We're received unto Himself with favor and with approval. And immediately I know you ask this question, well, how can that be? How can a sinful person like me and like you be just with God? How can we walk with God in His holiness, and when we're so sinful? How can He be clean that's born of a woman? Well, we can't be approved of God or accepted of God or received with favor by God in our own righteousness, because our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We can't be accepted of God because of our righteousness or because of our flesh or because of our works. By works shall no man be justified in the sight of God. Now, we can win the approval of men and women by our attitude, by our conversation, and by our good deeds. But we can't win God's approval and win God's acceptance, because He looks not on the outward countenance, He looks on the heart. And He weighs us not in the balances of human regulations and rules, but He weighs us in the balances of His holiness. We cannot be accepted of God in religious ceremonies. I wish you'd read the first chapter of Isaiah sometime and hear God condemning these people for their heartless ceremonies and their rituals and their form and their paganism in prayer. God says, I'm sick of your prayer. Don't lift your hands in prayer to me again. I won't hear you. We're not accepted by God in our righteousness, in our works, in our flesh, in our religious ceremonies. We're accepted in the Beloved. Who is the Beloved? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. We're accepted in Christ because of his representation. He represented us. He came down here on this earth as a human being, as a man, the God-man. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. As in Adam we died, in Christ we live. By Adam's sin we were made sinners. By Christ's righteousness we were made holy. We're accepted by his sacrifice. For it says, by his stripes we're healed. And then we're accepted by his intercession. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Out in the front of our church we have a bulletin board. And on that bulletin board this week, I have one of the most important verses of Scripture to be found anywhere in God's Word. And that verse of Scripture is this. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We are accepted in Christ because he represented us, because he obeyed the law for us, because he died on the cross bearing our sins and satisfied God's justice, and because right now he intercedes at God's right hand for you and me. My friends, we are in the heart of Christ. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. We're not only in the heart of Christ, but we're in the book of Christ, the Lamb's book of life. You know who that Lamb is, don't you? The Lamb's book of life. You know, a friend of mine was going through one of the president's homes, one who's dead, and the whole crowd of people were walking through the living room of this president's home. I think he was the man who was president from Ohio. I'm not sure. But on the wall of this former president's home was a picture, and it had a lamb, and that lamb had a sword through it, and it had a rainbow and a throne. And the people were standing there looking at it, and they said, well, now, that's a strange picture. Wonder what that means. And my friend spoke up and said, I can tell you what it means. In the midst of the throne stood a lamb as it had been slain from the foundation of the world. That's Christ, the Lamb. And he told those people, he said, this is what this picture is saying. Christ is the Lamb. He sits on a throne because he's the sovereign. The sword represents justice, piercing his heart, shedding his blood for our sin. And he's the Lamb. He's the without spot or blemish, as a lamb was sacrificed for our sin. That's Christ. And we are accepted in him, in the Beloved. We're in the hand of Christ. He said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. And we're in the body of Christ, baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption. Now, we're talking about blessing God for spiritual blessing. Chosen in Christ, accepted in Christ, and now in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Now, listen to me a moment. Any sensible person listening to my voice who knows himself and who knows God is concerned about his sins. That's right. He's concerned about his sins. David said, my sins are ever before me. Now, God says if you deny you have sin, you don't know yourself. Now, listen, 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. I don't know myself. If I say I have no sin, I'm not just talking about murder and drunkenness and theft and those. I'm talking about sins of the heart and the mind, the attitude, the motive. Sins God sees. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. And more than that, if we say we have no sin, we don't know God. We not only don't know ourselves, but we don't know God. Because it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? Thank God, I have an answer. In Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. We have redemption, forgiveness of sin. Where are our sins? Well, the Bible says they're separated from us as far as the east is from the west. That's a long ways, isn't it? The Bible says that they're cast into the depths of the sea. When I was in the Navy aboard the ship in World War II, we used to take the garbage. We didn't have any trouble with garbage disposal. We'd just take it back on the fantail of the ship and dump it out there in the middle of the sea, a mile deep, and that garbage would just disappear into the depths of the sea, never to be heard of again. That's where our sins are, in the depths of the sea. And then the Bible says they're behind God's back. Isaiah 38:7, behind God's back. Where is the back of God? Well, our sins are nowhere because there is no such place. And then he says, I'll remember them no more. Now watch this next verse, verse 10. We're not only chosen in Christ, accepted in Christ, and redeemed in Christ, but we shall be gathered in Christ. That in the dispensation, verse 10, of the fullness of time, God might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven, which are on the earth, even in Him. That's the reason Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Everything's in Christ. If you're looking for it in the church, it's not there. If you're looking for it in a preacher, it's not there. It's in Christ. In Christ, in God's appointed time, He created the world. In God's appointed time, He sent His Son. In God's appointed time, Christ died. Christ said, the hour is come. The hour is come. In His appointed time, He revealed Christ. When it pleased God, He revealed His Son to me. And in God's appointed time, His Son will return. Our Lord said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father. And in the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ that are in heaven, that are on earth, even in Him. Now, last of all, verse 11. We are heirs in Christ. Let me just give you the scripture. In whom we have an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. We have an inheritance. That inheritance is eternal happiness, eternal glory, eternal union with the Son of God. Where is it? It's in Christ. Those are the blessings here and the blessings hereafter to be found in Christ. Take that first chapter of Ephesians and bless God for all spiritual blessings in Christ.